following is an interview with Warren A. Huddleston on March 30th, 1993. The interview is conducted by Elizabeth Elkins, and it's taking place at 203 Macon Drive in Jacksonville, Alabama. I don't know too much about you in general, so the questions are kind of vague.
Okay.
First thing is just sort of a background about you, just where you were born, your parents,
sure.
date of birth, stuff like that.
Sure. I was born May 15th, 1923. My father was born, July 25th, 1871. I never did know my grandparents on my father's side. My mother was born in 1900, in July 1900. And I don't know what else you need to know.
Where were you born?
Pulaski, Indiana.
Indiana, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have any brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters and a half-brother.
And what year were you married?
1946, August 29th.
Right after the war.
Yeah.
Okay, and education?
High school, and I have a business degree.
Okay. All right, let's start a little bit, talk about... I guess, see, how old were you in 1929? So you were still pretty young.
1926.
Like, six. Okay, so do you remember hearing about the crash?
Probably vaguely remember it, but I heard a lot of discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
And my father lost money in that.
Had he invested stuff in the stock market?
Mm-hmm. But he also, he later on when the banks were closed, he lost some money, but not much.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember like any specific discussions that went on about were people tending to blame Hoover? Or do you remember a lot of what your parents said about it? Was there just a lot of anger?
There was just a lot of anger. They blamed anybody that was in any power or in authority, and it's basically like something goes wrong with the government now or the stock drops, they blame it on whatever's available.
Did you live in Indiana at the time still?
In 1929, yes, we were still living in Indiana.
Were you in just a middle class family, sort of? Or?
Well, yes. My father he was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't practice because he couldn't make a living at it. He did for a while.
So what did he do during the...
He worked for the government. He was a postal inspector.
So he didn't lose his job due to depression?
No, no. Okay. We were one of the fortunate ones. Yeah. We made $1,100 a year.
Okay. And when the Depression started, I guess, pretty much lasted all through the 30s, kind of describe maybe some things that happened to you during the 30s and how your life was affected by it and others around you. It's kind of broad. But
well, we lived in Chicago during the 30s. My father was working for the post office then. He was in the postal inspector. And things were tough. I mean, we always had plenty of food, but it wasn't meat or anything mm-hmm. like that. I'd get one jacket a year, and it had to last. One pair of shoes, they had to last. We were a happy lot. We had a good life. Even the people that were... I think the homeless now have it worse than we had it during the Depression, because everybody was in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had any money. And everybody supported each other, and we did not have any problem with schools. The schools were well supplied with paper and everything. Everything was supplied for us in Chicago. We had a nurse on duty. We had a dentist. Food. They gave out food to people that could not afford food. We never got on because my father was working, but a lot of my friends, they get, once a week, they get produce and fruit. And we couldn't afford the fruit, mm-hmm. but it was all right. I know.
Was that sort of a government program?
Yes, it was through, I don't know if it was state or through the city or federal. I don't know, but I know the federal had programs, state had programs. Things were very cheap because people didn't have money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know when we'd have meat, was a big deal, you know. I remember one time my father said if us kids would help clean house, we'd have a treat. Well, that night the treat was hot dogs. So nobody had automobiles. It's just very, very few. If you were rich, you were in good shape.
Do you remember that once FDR got into office, was FDR sort of, a lot of times you hear about people, you know, putting up Jesus and FDR, right? But was that sort of the people you were around, was FDR kind of looked upon as a god, or was?
Well, he wasn't looked at as a god. He certainly did turn us around and start us back towards with the WPA, and I think it was NRA. There were several programs, but the WPA was the most successful. And people were willing to work. People wanted to work. And it came at the right time. And it did start to turn things around. They had for younger people, 16 years old and older, the CCC, maybe you heard about it. And my father having a job, of course I was in school, he wouldn't let me quit school. Mm-hmm. But going to school, education wasn't as important as it is now, but I was able to go to continue school. But those that couldn't, my age group, they had to go, they worked for the CCC, and that was part of FDR's program. And there's many, many things still around that was built during WPA days.
You graduated from high school, I guess, in what year then?
1943.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did a lot of people, once FDR came to office, sort of switch from Republicans to Democrats? Your political philosophies now, did they develop a lot around that?
Well, my father was a staunch Democrat. He would, if you were a Republican, you were no good. Mm-hmm. I guess you'd call him the yellow dog Democrat. And he influenced me in a great deal. But I don't go along that line now. I vote for the person, really, not for the party. Mm-hmm. In many instances, in most cases, especially on state level and local level, you can't be a Democrat or a Republican for councilman or mayor or anything like that. But I do believe during the Depression the party lines were really set. Mm-hmm. You were either a Republican or a Democrat. And of course, you know, even today, older people think that the Republicans think that FDR ruined the country. You know, but that's not so. I mean, a lot of people hated Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
A lot of people, one of the reasons they cite is that they thought a lot of his New Deal policies were sort of borderline socialism. Did you think
that could very well be, mm-hmm. but. Without those programs, it would have been very difficult to. We would have been struggling up to World War II, you know. When World War II came out, like, whew, the economy turned around. But without that, it would have been delayed several years, I do believe. I do believe that FDR's programs were good. My wife's father had five girls, and if it wasn't for WPA, they would have been in bad shape. Mm-hmm.
Did you lived in Chicago all through the 30s then?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we didn't go to Indiana.
Was the whole city sort of, you know, downcast, or did it have its ritzy section? And you sort of describe the city, because it is.
Well, the majority of the people, great majority, there's either poor or rich. There was no in between. There wasn't what you would call middle class, but the majority of the people were struggling. It was, but the crime is nothing like it is now. Mm-hmm. The people had great pride. They didn't want welfare. They wanted to stay away from it. They wanted to work. And when this WPA come along and gave them an opportunity to do something, whether it was leaning on a shovel or what, you know, it would take 10 men to do a one-man job. At least it gave them pride, and they could go home with some money in their hand saying that I earned it.
Did you have any, I guess what the colloquial called the hobos come through. I mean, you see,
oh yeah, they marked their houses. And, oh yeah,
did your house get marked? Or I mean,
well, if you were giving, now you could be dirt poor, but somebody come by and rap on your door, there would be a handout. There would be some kind of food for that person. Yes, and the hobos, they rode the rails, and they weren't. You didn't have to fear them. You know, they. Oh yes, they did mark the doors, and how they, you know, are they is this the one way or no one? Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes you couldn't, but yes, it was a fact of life. Hobos were.
I've read also sometimes that there was a tendency for, when it gets to the question of blacks and whites, I don't know how it was in Chicago, but in a lot of places in the South, that the white people sometimes wouldn't give handouts to the whites because they felt, well, you know, you should be. But if a black came in, they're like, well, it was okay for you to be in that situation, they would give handouts. Was there any sort of, there was a lot of racism in Chicago?
No. To tell you the truth, I was not around blacks until, oh my goodness, until I went into service. Mm-hmm. Now, there were blacks in Chicago, but Western Avenue, which was like 4,000, they all lived in one area and they stayed in their area, and it wasn't I just wasn't associated with them. They didn't go to school with us, but I don't know, I don't think it was racism. It was just they wanted to be I do believe it was more difficult in the South and, mm-hmm. than it was in the North, but I'm sure that there were problems, but I was not aware of them.
What about at the same time there was sort of the developing women's movement? Did you hear much about that? Was that something that came up? You know, maybe your father was vehement against or for, or was that was sort of the beginning of the time?
Not too aware of it. I'm sure women were working, but they were domestics, mm-hmm. you know. And but then with the jobs, so few jobs. They felt, hey, you're taking away from the head of the family. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's all changed now. It's nothing like that. It was a difficult time. And it was difficult. As a child, I didn't realize that it was that difficult. Because we played. We made up our own. We didn't have toys. You know, anybody had a bicycle, my gosh. You know, roller skates. Oh, boy, where did they come from? Stuff like that, and we just accepted it. It was a way of life. It wasn't, you know, you wouldn't have to have Reeboks or whatever. You know, if you had a pair of shoes, boy, you're lucky. I can remember having white shoes in the summer. They'd have them dyed in the winter. They'd get wet, and my feet would be purple, you know, because Dad couldn't afford another pair of shoes.
What was described school during that period?
School was very good. Mm-hmm. We had excellent education. Everything was furnished, from pencils to paper to in a
this big, public school.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a big treat was to, hey, you get to go to the supply room and hand out the paper today. You know, hey, you were good today. You can go. And nothing was. We needed nothing. You know, it's believe it or not, I think the schools are struggling now where we weren't then. We had the music department, which I understand now they don't even teach music anymore in school unless you're in a band.
Mm-hmm.
And it was required that we took music through eighth grade. Otherwise, I would know nothing about music.
Was this, I can't remember if the school lunch program was sort of a part of the UDL also. Did you eat lunch at school or did you come home?
No. I don't believe there was a lunch program now. I am not sure. I know I never ate at school.
Mm-hmm.
We had to carry our lunch or however we could get it.
What did you guys, when you got into your early teens, I guess, and toward the turn of the 40s, when you went out, I mean, now, you know, kids go to movies and stuff like that, what did you do for entertainment? Go out and party?
Oh, golly, we just basically the same thing the teenagers could do. We had dances and roller skating was big and we had movies. Oh yeah, that was a big date. When you had a date, you'd go to the movie. And it cost 25 cents. Of course, you'd have 50 cents, and if Dad would let you use the car while you were in business, you could go on a date for 50 cents. But we had a place called Chapman's, that my wife used to go out there too. We could go in and order a Cherry Coke or a Coke. As long as we behaved ourselves, we could stand in there and dance. But it was well chaperoned. The woman that owned this, boy, you were out, and it took you a couple of weeks to get back in because that's where all the kids hung out. I remember one time going in with a sandwich, a bologna sandwich, and said, "Warren, you can't come in here with that sandwich." And he said, "You can come back in a week." Why, boy, that was the longest week of my life to get back in there. That's where all, and after basketball games, you know, all the kids would go there. We had a good time. We had basic baseball, basketball games in high school, and plays. That was big, you know. If you get picked to be on the cast, in the cast, boy, you know, that's fun.